I want to talk more about them right now in the association. Joining us is somebody who covers the Lakers and the NBA for the Los Angeles Times. He was a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. He is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, what's there to talk about with the Lakers?
Yeah, not much going on, right?
Pretty ho-hum start to the year.
Where do we start with the Lakers? Why don't we start, Dan, good to have you back. Why don't we start first with the year they're having, the fact that LeBron James is entering COVID protocol. Let me ask you this. Like, Joel Embiid missed 9 games following a positive test result, and from the sounds of it, had a really miserable time. If everything were to go well for LeBron, how much time do you expect him to miss, and what's your reaction to that news?
Yeah, I mean, I think my reaction, first of all, is that I'm not surprised, right? Like, obviously, like, the pandemic is still happening. You know, people who are vaccinated still test positive for this. What I can tell you, Jim, is that, you know, LeBron, like Anthony Davis said last night, LeBron is asymptomatic. And typically, you know, an asymptomatic test, at least early in the season, wouldn't have happened. That, you know, because LeBron is a vaccinated player, you don't undergo the same kind of testing where they underwent last year. But because of Thanksgiving and stuff like that, and kind of a fear that stuff like this could happen, you know, the league started testing players who were asymptomatic. LeBron's test came back positive, and sort of here we are. So I'm not that surprised that it happened. Obviously, you know, when it happens to LeBron James, it certainly adds a new element to all of this. But, you know, as far as the best case scenario goes, he remains asymptomatic. He's able to get back into the gym here in a few days. And then, you know, you start waiting either for 2 negative tests 24 hours apart or a 10-day minimum. So, you know, maybe they only play 3 times each of the next 2 weeks. Maybe it's 5 games. Maybe it's 6 games. But you really don't know. You just hope that, I mean, beyond the basketball stuff, you hope that symptoms don't develop. And then, you know, from a basketball standpoint, if the symptoms don't develop, you know, maybe this isn't that long of a thing.
We're talking to Dan Wojcicki. It's well said. So, Dan, the Lakers get that news. Then they go out and they do what they've done for a while, right? They go out and they play terribly against a bad team for more than a half. Like, how do you explain that?
I mean, it's sort of who they've been, right? I mean, I think that's – I mean, the Lakers have not played like a good team really since the playoffs last season, since game 3 of the playoffs last season. It's funny, Jim. I was sitting there at Staples Center – I can still call it Staples Center for another 2 weeks. I was sitting there.
For as long as you want.
I was sitting out there watching, you know, the Lakers going a 16-0 run on Sunday, and you're like, wow, this is the best stretch of basketball that they've played maybe all year. And then you look across the court, and you see it's against a 4-win Pistons team, and you try to kind of you try to balance those two things, right? You try to say, like, how much of this is the Lakers turning a corner? How much is this that they're playing bad teams? Because that's sort of the dirty little secret of this Lakers season so far, Jim, is that they've played a pretty soft schedule, right? Like, they have not played good teams, and it's looked really, really hard almost every night that they've played. I last night against Sacramento, just a miserable first half. They look like a group that had never met each other before. You know, guys, no spacing whatsoever, not getting any stops, getting beat on like rudimentary basketball plays, like the pick and roll, right? Little play that's only been around the NBA for, you know, 60 years. You know, it's like they've never tried to guard it before. And then I would say, if you're looking for like crumbles of optimism, though, like they have for maybe the last 3 weeks, like, they actually adjusted well. And we're a totally different team in the second half, and, you know, kind of one-upped what we saw in Detroit. I mean, played just terrific in the third quarter and closed out a game and really kind of had their easiest win of the season. And maybe you're starting to see some signs of positivity. It's so hard to tell because the schedule's been incredibly kind to them.
I was going to say, Dan, like, maybe if you're an optimist and you want to see something positive, but then you remember it's against Sacramento. Then you remember how bad they were in the first half. Then you remember that Frank Vogel said, I had to light another fire under them in that game at intermission. Like, it seemed kind of strange at the time to completely wreck a team and demolish last year's roster. A few months on, how does that decision look to you now? And what was the motivation behind that strategy?
Well, I mean, I think to kind of answer that backwards, I mean, the motivation was scenarios just like this, right? Where LeBron James is getting older. they saw what and look, for them to win a title, they know they need LeBron James not only to be on the court but to be healthy. But to kind of navigate a regular season, you know, they felt like they last year when LeBron James and Anthony Davis both were out, that they just simply didn't have enough star power, right? They didn't have enough to get it done. They're the Lakers. Like, there is like sort of there's like a reverse Outlet Mall mentality, right? Where it's like you pay extra for the name brand labels.
Right.
Los Angeles and sort of, you have an opportunity to get, a future Hall of Famer in Russell Westbrook, and that's what he is. One of the 75 best players ever to play the game, and that is what he is. He's probably one of the 10 most confusing players ever to play the game, too. But you get a chance to add sort of another superstar, and this is sort of like, the Lakers' MO. 23 games in or wherever we're at right now, they decimated their depth. Jim, and I think beyond the Westbrook acquisition, like you're looking at a team that made the gamble to kind of trade defense for offense when it comes to role players. And the bad news has been is that the offense has been bad. Like, it has not been a good offense. There's no spacing. They play in the shoebox functionally every night on offense because you don't have to guard Russell Westbrook. And look, the Lakers are kind of tweaking things, and I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks, have experimented with some lineups that have looked a little bit better. I think they're going to have to go smaller more consistently just to get themselves more spacing, which was kind of the plan originally. But, you know, all the injuries that they've had have sort of slowed that down. But, to me, this seems more like a construction problem than a management issue in terms of Frank Vogel. But Vogel is not to be fully absolved in any of this either. I mean, like, they're still starting DeAndre. You know, they started DeAndre Jordan last night. They've been starting Avery Bradley. The numbers on Avery Bradley have been very, very bad. But, you know, what Frank Vogel would tell you is, like, he tries hard on defense. And this is a team that needed to have someone on the court who tries hard on defense. It really is sort of like a boat that has holes in it, in six different places. And it feels like to plug one, you've got to take in water somewhere else.
Dan Wojcicki is joining us. All right, Dan, so we talk about that at great length. In the meantime, you've got Golden State and Phoenix playing last night. Now they're both 18-3. What was your biggest takeaway from that game last night?
I mean, just how much better they are than everybody else in the conference, first of all, right? That these teams are at a different level than everybody else. I think Phoenix, to me, has cemented itself as a real contender in the West, which seems like a silly thing to say based on, the fact that they won the conference last year. They played in the NBA Finals and were up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. But, I think within the league, a lot of people viewed last season as a fluky year in a lot of ways, right? And because of, no crowds, because of the pandemic, because of the sort of carryover effects of the bubble and the compressed off season. A lot of really smart people smarter than me, would say that, like, people who put an asterisk on the bubble season were missing the point, that the year after was always going to be the weirder season, right? And it kind of borne out to be a pretty weird season. I think Phoenix is for real. They've got terrific length. Mikal Bridges is just a fantastic defender, the kind of versatile defender that you need in the playoffs that you can put on a Steph Curry. Look, you're not going to shut down Steph Curry to the extent that he did last night every night, but you can make life more complicated, and I think that's what Mikal Bridges did. They've got a lot of playable pieces, and look, credit to the Suns. They've weathered some injuries to their depth, and they still kind of figure it out. And then you look at the Warriors, a team that plays with so much freedom and joy in Steve Kerr's system. I think there's been a little bit of a referendum on Steve Kerr as a head coach. I think that, it's easy to kind of look at the talent they've had and say, oh, this is just like a roll the ball out of the court situation. But, I mean, I think they play with a really definitive style and energy, and good on Steve Kerr, good on Draymond Green, good on Steph Curry for kind of, for implementing that with another interesting group of players. And You know, those teams to me are head and shoulders above everybody else in the Western Conference right now.
And then Clay comes back. James Wiseman will be back really quickly.
Sure.
Really quickly, Dan. What do you like? Say what you want, not you, but many will, about CP3 and his play in the finals. Is there anybody aging better than this guy? And what do you make of his play at this point in his career?
Well, other than the two of us, Jim, I think, he is in like fine wine territory right now. I mean, it's just, his game has always been sort of based, I mean, he's not, Chris would tell you, right? Like, he's not an athletic guy necessarily, right? Like, I mean, this is somebody who, you know, you hear stories about, like, LeBron James and playing football and other people, like, doing things like that. Like, what's Chris Paul's favorite thing to do in his leisure time is to go bowling.
Right.
Right? Like, that speaks to sort of, I think, you know, the kind of general, like, explosive athlete that he is.
Twitchy.
Look, he's incredibly quick. He's incredibly smart. He's incredibly sort of addicted to winning situations. So he will do anything, right? Like, this is a like slit your throat kind of competitor. Like, he will do whatever it takes to get an edge. And his game has aged so well. It's incredible. Like, you know, there was a time in the league where like Chris Paul was like the untradeable contract, right? Like, nobody wants to pay this guy when he's 40. I think right now I can think of a lot of teams that would line up to pay this guy at 40 years old. He's such a wonderful. It reminds me sort of like Broncos Peyton Manning. Like, still, right? Like maybe it's not quite what it used to be, but man, the command of everything is just so spot on, and that's what you see. I mean, no team takes on an identity like the way a Chris Paul team takes on. He makes you serious right away, and Phoenix is embracing him.
No doubt. He covers the Lakers and the NBA for the LA Times. He was a panelist on the Daily TV show back in the day, and he is aging brilliantly. He is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Jim.
Always good talking to you, Dan. Have a great day. Dan Wojcicki joining us. Like I said about CP3, like Dan said, he's the kind of guy that is just addicted to winning and will do anything, including slit your throat. I know, clones. Yeah, or punch you in the junk. I know. But I'm telling you, the guy, I see almost no slippage. Nobody is aging better than CP3. He looks unbelievable still yet.